Welcome to a special edition of the Best in Class podcast featuring JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. He usually looks at young players and their performances around the league and rookies, but today it's all about Jaden Daniels, the rookie the Bucks have to tackle on Sunday if they want to advance in the playoffs. Sean goes deep into what makes Daniels tick and how to stop him. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing a playoff week breakdown of a rookie quarterback that the Bucks are facing, and that's Jaden Daniels, the number two overall pick out of LSU. Get ready, get strapped in. It's going to be a short podcast, but I want to really prepare Bucks fans for what they're facing, and you're going to listen to a guy that has probably watched more tape on Jaden Daniels than anyone outside the NFL, and I'm going to show you and give you detailed defensive strategies that is going to stop Jaden Daniels on Sunday night and secure a win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving on, hopefully, to the NFC next round. All right, so first, let's take a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford in Tampa, family-owned since 1960. The Curry family has dedicated their lives in three generations to serving Tampa Bay and being a part of the community. Jennifer Curry, who heads Bill Curry Ford right now, is one of the only female owners of a Ford store in the United States. Very proud of that fact. And she's also a proud owner of the largest service department in the United States, 67 cars deep in a service drive, mobile service, pickup and delivery. We offer every service at BillCurryFord.com. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all of your social media sites. And I'm very, very excited to tell you the Bucks are in the playoffs. We had our moment of bliss. We had our Rudy moment. Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. The best part of the movie Rudy, if you guys, it's one of the greatest sports movies ever made besides Hoosiers. And I'll argue with anybody at Sean Sullivan at bestinclass.com if you want to send it to me. But here's the thing. In the Rudy movie, at the very end, we're all cheering for Rudy to get in the game because he's got to get into a play, right? So he can be documented as a player for Notre Dame. So what do? The offense throws a pass, right, to score a touchdown to get the defense back on the field so he could play special teams, and then he actually played a defensive snap and made a sack. And we're, Rudy, Rudy. So here's the game. So Brookie Irving takes a touchdown pass. I'm going to say pass because it's BS what the NFL did and take that touchdown pass from the MVP, Baker Mayfield, which is, by the way, his new name is MVP Baker Mayfield. So he threw a pass. Brookie Irving ran it in for a touchdown. Right? So we're like, okay, Mike Evans is like 4 or 5 yards away. I think he was 6 yards away. And we're like, okay, what's going to happen? There's a few seconds left. The defense has to make a stand. They have to get the ball back. The stadium's going crazy. We're standing on the sideline going, Rudy, Rudy, Evans, Evans, right? So like people are screaming Mike from the stands. I mean, it's incredible that like the energy that was going on. The defense does the stand. We get the ball back. The very first play, now this is how I know Todd Bowles, right, is evolving as a man and as a head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because Todd Bowles, the old Todd Bowles, never would have called a passing play with the game on the line and the playoffs on the line. It just wouldn't happen. He's the same guy that took the ball out of Tom Brady's hands because he was worried about an interception and played for overtime. Tom Brady, yeah, there's a long conversation. We don't need to get into it. All right, Todd Bowles makes the decision. Baker goes in, throws a short pass to Mike Evans. By the way, the Saints suck. Hope you lose your franchise. You have the worst fans in the NFL. You guys all suck. Anyway, so Mike Evans catches the ball, and that's after the Saints are like, watch 13, watch 13. You can actually hear it, you know, on the broadcast. He catches the ball. The crowd goes wild. Mike Evans spikes the ball. It was a moment, Bucks fans, that's going to live in infamy. And I'm telling you, it was incredible, incredible game. And I'm so happy that we clinched the playoffs against the terrible Saints. They suck. It was really nice beating them again. And we're not going to break down that game because this is a breakdown of Jaden Daniels, right? So this is a best-in-class breakdown of a rookie quarterback coming off what I believe is the best rookie quarterback class in NFL history. This is going to trump 1983 because of the overall franchise quarterbacks that came out. I'm going to do this real quick, but with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Penix, and J.J. McCarthy, and of course Bo Nix, who was all over and told everybody not to ignore. And that's I'm going to talk about that in the summer. I'm going to toot my horn there because I know quarterbacks. I know rookie quarterbacks. I know who's going to succeed. And it just comes from putting the time in and watching him and understanding. This class showed every single one of those guys, except for McCarthy because he got hurt, has shown that they're franchise quarterbacks. Bo Nix is in the playoffs. Jane Daniels is in the playoffs. Penix put on a show for Atlanta. I mean, if you guys didn't watch Penix, I mean, he's got a cannon. And he only played in three games. And you can see they're going to write off $240 million because this is what they saw in Penix, because that's what's going to happen, which is pretty amazing. But that brings me to the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels. Super high on him, okay? So let's talk about him as a person, right? So on the season, 69% completion percentage, 35-68 in yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 100 QB ranking. He was sacked 47 times on the season. So what we're going to discuss is, what are his weaknesses, Sean? What have you seen that the Bucs can exploit? So we're going to go to Bill Belichick, right? Bill Belichick did a three-minute breakdown about on week 10 of the NFL season, and you guys can watch this on YouTube, and I'm going to give, obviously, Bill Belichick the credit on what he was talking about, and he gave me a really good nugget. So he was discussing making Jaden Daniels a single-threat QB, taking away his either ability to run or his ability to throw to the outside hash. So basically, the majority of Jaden Daniels' passes comes outside the numbers. He very rarely likes to throw down the middle of the field. He likes to stretch the field. He doesn't like short passes, and he really likes to force those outside wide receiver, outside-the-number throws. It's constant, and that's really his strength. He's extremely accurate on those throws. It's been built into him not to turn the ball over, hence the 9 interceptions. The guy took care of the ball really, really well. He actually went through a stretch of 5 games, which Caleb Williams broke for NFL record for the most games without an interception. But he won't force the ball down the middle. He throws to the outside. He uses the out-of-bounds as a way to hide the defender, like to actually keep that defender at bay on the backside, and he uses the other side and he throws it down. He's really, really accurate. You guys need to watch the YouTube video on this. Okay, here's the important thing, right? He has not completed a pass rolling to his left this entire season. Not one time has he thrown a ball rolling to the left and completed it. The reason why this is super important is because, and we're going to break down week 10, which is when the Pittsburgh Steelers stopped him, and we're going to break down week 11, which is where the Eagles stopped him, and we're going to talk about how both of those schemes work, but still staying on Belichick. Belichick is basically saying, right, you have to contain him on the outside. Force him to stay in the pocket. Make him one-dimensional. Make him throw the ball, which I know Bucks fans, you guys are going, well, don't want him to throw the ball because, our soft zone isn't very good. Listen, we need him to throw the ball. We don't want to get him running the ball, right? He doesn't like to throw short passes. He doesn't. When he throws the ball behind the line of scrimmage, he does these little bubble plays. It's not his favorite thing to do, but he does it. Okay, the reason why he doesn't like it is because he's not a patient quarterback. He's one of these quarterbacks that gets antsy to push the ball down the field. So if you take away his ability to throw the ball down the field, you take away his ability to stay outside, you try to blitz him and make him move to the left, right? Make him throw the ball moving to his left. Keep him in the pocket. Don't let him rush for these downs. Keep constant pressure on him. Take away that long outside pass to McLaren, to Scary Terry. Take away those outside numbers hash. That's the way Bill Belichick would design the Patriots defense to take him on. Okay, that's step one. Step two, let's analyze what Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers did in week 10 against Daniels. Okay, what they did was really interesting. They rushed 6, okay? Instead of disguising their coverages, they just basically said, what we're going to do is we're going to overload the offensive line, and we're going to put so much pressure on Daniels, we're going to force him to get rid of the ball quick. And by doing that, it's going to create these short passes, and it's going to make him impatient, and he's going to make mistakes. The Steelers blitzed him a season-high 19 times, and were able to contain Daniels in the pocket with a 5-man and 6-man rush for the entire game. He recorded not 1 yard of positive scrambling off the line of scrimmage in the Pittsburgh Steelers game. They were completely contained in the pocket. They were able to get steady pressure on him, and he had his worst game of the season in week 10. Okay? Other than the 185 yards and no touchdowns against the Bucs week 1, but we're not going to talk about that week 1. We're going to talk about the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers strategy was, let's load the offensive line, let's make sure he can't run, let's force him to pass quickly. Now, what you're going to say is, Sean, we don't have TJ Watt. right? You're absolutely right. We don't have anything close to T.J. Watt, right? The only time the Bucs have had pass rushers on the outside, we won the Super Bowl or went to the NFC Championship game. Leroy Salmon, NFC Championship game. Simeon Rice, Super Bowl, right? And then obviously Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, we won a Super Bowl. So Bucs, if you're listening, Jason Light, if you're listening to this podcast, which I know you do, give me a pass rusher, please. You only win the Super Bowl every time you get one, all right? So, but going on about the Pittsburgh Steelers, we don't have a T.J. Watt, but what we can do is learn from the fact that if we keep him in the pocket, so what the Pittsburgh Steelers did, they kind of followed the Bill Belichick rule of making him a single threat. In that Week 10 game, he didn't get one positive rushing yard. Making him throw the ball fast, making him throw the ball short, don't let it take away his long ball ability. And so that kind of fits in. So now we're going to go to Week 11. The Philadelphia Eagles destroyed him. So instead of doing the blitzing, which is what the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I'm sure Daniels after Week 10 was probably with his head coach and his offensive coordinator trying to figure out how to go against that strategy. So what did the Philadelphia Eagles do that was so different? They rotated coverages post-snap instead of pre-snap. So right now, they're saying he's a rookie quarterback, right? So this defense would not work against, like, say, a Goff or an Aaron Rodgers because it's going to give them more time, actually, to make a decision. What it happens to Jaden Daniels is he has not seen all the defenses in the league right now. He's a rookie. He's only played in 17 games. This is what the Eagles took advantage of. They're basically saying, pre-snap, we're going to show him a base defense where he can't see what's going on. So he can't call his run-pass option play. So basically, he picked wrong many, many times. As soon as the ball was hiked, the Eagles rotated into a post-snap coverage that confused him and got him out of rhythm on his passing and then stopped the run. So basically, he's got the ball. He's looking pre-snap. He's like, okay, I got to make the call. Run pass option, right? I've got to make the call. But what defense are the Eagles playing? Then as soon as the ball is hiked, they show him what they're doing. It's too late. He's too slow to react at that point. So he wasn't able to take his deep shots. He only attempted one pass of 20 yards or more the entire game against Philadelphia because he didn't understand the coverages. Todd Bowles, please listen to me. The Philadelphia Eagles are on to something with this rookie quarterback stuff. Do not give him time to process the coverage that you're showing him. Confuse him immediately by showing him a vanilla defense. Let him call the play based on the vanilla defense and then immediately adjust your defense post-snap. So if we can disguise our blitzes and we can disguise what we're doing pre-snap and try to post-snap just like the Eagles did, and then we confirm to what the Steelers did, rush 5, rush 6, he doesn't know where it's coming from. Contain him on the inside. Make him throw the ball fast. Make him roll to the left. So basically, Todd Bowles, what you need to do is you need to take, if Winfield or Lavonte David's blitzing, let them blitz from the right side. Overload the right side of the line on him, right? I want him to immediately hike the ball, have that overload come from the right side, force him to his left. Make him complete a pass left because he has not done it in 17 games. Force him to his left. And then if he tries to run, make sure you contain him in that issue. But here's the thing. This is the blueprint to stop him. Please don't come out with some soft zone and not rush anybody and let him pick us apart, right? I watched the New Orleans game where we allowed a very backup quarterback to basically do these little out routes and throw to the sideline with tons of room, and we just let him. That is Jaden Daniels' wheelhouse. If we don't contain that outside into the numbers throw, it's going to be a long day for us, all right? And I'm not talking about our offense. This is just a defensive conversation about a rookie quarterback that I'm really high on in Jaden Daniels. But here's the thing. Let's overload the right side. Let's force him to move to his left. Let's take away his ability to throw those long balls by keeping the safeties back. Let him try to throw the ball underneath. Let him get impatient so he makes some mistakes and turns the ball over. Right now, in this New Orleans game, which happened 3 weeks ago, New Orleans sacked Jaden Daniels 8 times in the game. Go to YouTube, pull up the New Orleans Saints game. They sacked him on the first play of the game, Cameron Jordan, and they sacked him 7 more times in the game, and they hurt his ribs. His ribs have been sore for 3 weeks, and now he has a sore quad and a leg going into our game. So Jaden Daniels is not healthy. They're going to say he's healthy. He is not. If you watch him right now, he's a very thin, fragile guy. And if he runs, I hope that we hit him square because he's going to have those ribs taped up and he's going to be, obviously watching that leg. So I don't think this is a game with him. I think that he's going to try to stay in the pocket, and he's going to try to take advantage of a very poor Bucs passing defense, which is why the pass rush up the middle has to contain him and in the sides, and we need to force him to his left, Todd Bowles. And by the way, I hope that you came up with some stuff that he hasn't seen all year. You have a playbook in your head. You've been doing it for 35 years. There has to be blitzes that are unique that we can do post-snap that will confuse him in this game. We just need to slow him down, in my opinion. If they get the ball six times in the first half, let's just say that they touch the ball six times in the first half. We need to force three and outs in the first half. If we can do that, I think they're going to score in the other three possessions. If we can get a 50% three and out right on this game, Bucky Irving and Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and all of our amazing targets will be able to put enough points on the board to win this game. I don't think they can overcome it. We need a fast start on offense, and we need a fast start on defense. Confuse him to start. Okay, if we let him get into a rhythm and he's completing his first three or four passes, because that's what they're going to come out and try to do, is get him into a rhythm. He is a rhythm-based quarterback. The Philadelphia Eagles did it. The Pittsburgh Steelers did it, was to get him off that rhythm. Bill Belichick said, once he gets going, he's like a basketball player, right? If he sees that first shot go in the net, it's going to be a long day. What we want to do is we want to get to him early, hurt his confidence, don't let him complete his first few passes, and don't let him get into a rhythm, and it's going to be a long day because in the second half, he'll get impatient and try to force the ball down the field, and that's where we need Winfield, who's playing in this game, to start picking the balls off. So I think that that's something to watch, and I really hope you enjoyed this Jaden Daniels breakdown about how to stop him in this Bucs game. This is our chance, guys. This is our chance to move on to the next round. This is a great matchup for us. It was really a blessing to get this matchup. Now we need to take care of business. Go Bucs. I hope you guys have a great Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Visit us on Facebook, X, Instagram. Please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com or ssullivan@billcurryford.com with your questions and comments. Please leave reviews on Apple, on Podbeam, on Joe Bucs Fan. That would be terrific. And I'll see you guys next week. I'm very excited to be a Bucs fan. I can't wait to start breaking down all of the collegiate games for you so we can start talking about rookies. But first things first, beat the Washington Redskins in Tampa in front of our crowd. Make our city proud. Win on primetime. MVP Baker Mayfield. Out.